Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today. All this week we'll be studying the second coming as seen in Matthew chapter 24 verses 29 through 31. For several weeks now we have been doing an in-depth study of the entire chapter of Matthew 24. Yesterday we looked at the context of verses 29 through 31. For the next 2 days we'll be focusing on the signs which will appear in the heavens in relation to the second coming as specifically described in verse 29. We'll also look at what the Old Testament says about these events. Verse 29 reads as follows. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. In our study today, we'll first look at a parallel passage from Luke 21, verse 52, and then several passages from the prophet Isaiah, which predict these signs in the heavens. Let's first of all look at the parallel passage in Luke 21, verse 52. And this is also a general description of this time period, and it reads as follows. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven will be shaken. And so here it says that men's hearts are going to fail for fear. And what this is communicating is that the idea is that people are going to drop dead on the spot due to the tremendous fear these signs begin to cause. The term failing here also means to expire or to stop breathing. So here I believe it's talking about death is going to come upon people because they're going to be so overwhelmed with the fear. And it's interesting that every time in California here when we have an earthquake, there's those who die not from destruction from the earthquake, but the fear that it brings upon people's lives. It also talks about the seas going beyond their boundaries. And that'll be due to the fact that the moon will not have the normal function with the gravitational pull. And all this relates to what Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says. It says that the Lord's upholding all things by the word of his power. See, it's the Lord holding all things together is why the universe is still functioning properly. Scientists have come up with a theory, and they refer to it as atomic glue, which holds everything together, but we know better. And at some point, the Lord's going to allow that quote-unquote atomic glue to not hold things together, and things are going to unravel. And this is exactly what we see being described here in Luke 21, as well as in Matthew chapter 24. And for the rest of our study today, I want to look at what the Old Testament says about these signs that are going to be taking place in the heavens, focusing on the signs which are recorded for us from the prophet Isaiah. Then our study tomorrow, we'll look at the passages which describe this in the minor prophets, as well as in the book of Revelation. Now, the first passage is found in Isaiah chapter 13, verses 6 through 16. Now, what I want you to see is that the Old Testament really is the base for all that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24. It's not as if he came and taught a bunch of new concepts or a lot of new truths. What you'll see is that a lot of things that he said in Matthew 24 have their root and base in the Old Testament. And what Jesus does for us, he adds obviously some detail since he was the Son of God, but then also puts them in an orderly way so that we could understand it. And it's important for you to realize that if you want to study prophecy, you must have a good grasp on the Old Testament. And when you study the book of Revelation, there's so many things that help us understand the book of Revelation as we discover that those signs and symbols actually are in the Old Testament. And that's what you see in these passages that we'll read over the next couple of days. A lot of what Jesus said has its root directly in Old Testament passages. In Isaiah chapter 13, verse 6 and following, it reads this way, "Wail, for the day of the Lord is at hand." The day of the Lord is a reference to this entire tribulation period of judgment. And he tells people to wail because it's at hand. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore, all hands will be limp. Now listen to this. Every man's heart will melt. That's exactly what Jesus said there in Luke 21:52. And they will be afraid. Pains and sorrows will take hold of them. They'll be in pain as a woman in childbirth. That's exactly what Jesus said. He referred to the signs that he mentioned as labor pains. They'll be amazed at one another. Their faces will be like flames. That means they'll look at one another and they'll see the fear and terror in each other's faces. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of heavens and their constellation will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. This is almost word for word of what Jesus is discussing in Matthew 24. I'll punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud. I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I'll make a mortal more rare than fine gold, a man more than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth will move out of her place. in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. It shall be as a hunted gazelle, as the sheep that no man takes up. Every man will turn to his own people, and everyone flee to his own land. Everyone who is found will be thrust through, and everyone who is captured will fall by the sword. Their children also will be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses will be plundered, and their wives ravished. Now, it is true that this passage was a prediction of the destruction of Babylon, which took place in 539 BC. Yet, it has parts that only could refer to the second coming of Christ, as Jesus predicts in our study of Matthew 24. And a lot of times what the Bible does, in the Old Testament prophecies, there will be an immediate fulfillment in the historical setting, and that serves as a type or a prophecy, or what takes place is something on a small scale, right in that historical setting, which reveals what will happen on a much greater scale in the future. And the destruction of Babylon was cruel and fierce, but what will take place in the last times when the Lord pours out his wrath is going to be much worse, will affect even the stars, the sun, and the moon, and it says the whole earth will shake. So it'll be a much worse scale than even what Babylon experienced in 539 BC. The second passage we'll look at from Isaiah is Isaiah 34, verses 4 through 6, where the prophet says, "All the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled up like a scroll, and their hosts fall down, as a leaf falls from the vine, as the fruit falling from a fig tree." This is exactly what is described in Revelation chapter 6 in that sixth seal in verses 12 through 17, where John says, "I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was great earthquakes, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll." So here we find these prophecies are actually rooted in the Old Testament. So the Lord's simply quoting from many passages in the Old Testament, which help us understand what the prophet was saying. And it all relates to that second coming of Jesus Christ. Then also in Isaiah 34, continuing on in verses 5 and 6, reads as follows, "For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Indeed, it shall come down on Edom and on the people of my curse for judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made overflowing with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams, for the Lord has a sacrifice in Bozra and a great slaughter in the land of Edom." Now, here we have Edom and Bozra mentioned. Bozra was the capital of Edom. Edom lied to the south of the land of Israel. And Edom in the end times does play a role prophetically in that battle will take place there, and actually the Lord will wipe out the enemies of the nation of Israel, starting there in the south of Israel, then coming up through the entire territory, culminating there in that valley of Armageddon. And this is what we find in Isaiah chapter 63, another brutal picture, brutal description of the second coming of Christ. And this part doesn't focus on the signs that will happen in the heavens, but on the bloodshed that will take place on the earth. And it reads this way, Isaiah 63, verses 1 through 6. It says, "Who is this who comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra? This one who is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength." So they ask the question when they see this mighty one coming, traveling in glorious apparel and greatness and strength. The Lord speaks, "I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save." Then they ask the question in verse 2, "Why is your apparel red and your garments like one who treads in the winepress?" The Lord responds in verse 3, "I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me. For I have trodden them in my anger and trampled them in my fury. Their blood is sprinkled on my garments, and I have stained all my robes." Now, once again, we see this also being described in the book of Revelation, that the battle of Armageddon and that last battle when the Lord comes back is like a winepress. And the picture here is, instead of grapes being put in this winepress and stamped out, actually it's the people. And their blood sprinkles back up on the garment of the Messiah as he comes back for bloodshed because his sword is dipped in blood. Revelation chapter 19, verse 15 reads this way, "Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he would strike the nations. And he himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." This imagery is also seen in Revelation chapter 14, verses 17 and 18, which reads, "Then another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, had power over fire, and he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe." Verse 19 says, "For the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Verse 20 says, and the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horse's bridle for 1,600 furlongs, or approximately 200 miles, or more precisely, 184 miles. So bloodshed is going to flow for some 200 miles. And here we see there in Revelation as well that it's that picture of that winepress. And that imagery comes from Isaiah chapter 63, where the Lord himself is destroying all of his enemies because he is coming back in anger and great fury. Then going back to Isaiah 63, verses 4 through 6, read as follows. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. I looked, but there was no one to help, and I wondered that there was no one to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation for me, and my own fury it sustained me. I have trodden down the peoples in my anger, made them drunk in my fury, and brought down their strength to the earth. So what we see here is that prediction of the 184 miles, or approximately 200 miles, it is interesting that from Bozrah, the capital city of Edom, to Armageddon is approximately 184 miles. And what the Bible predicts is not that all the nations are going to be gathered there exactly in the Valley of Armageddon. Many nations will, but all through the land of Israel, going down into the south of Israel, even down into Edom, there's going to be bloodshed and battle taking place. And that's when the Lord comes back and wipes out all of his enemies. And that's why the Lord said, where you see the vulture, the eagle, that's where the carcass is, because there's going to be all these dead bodies strewn throughout the entire land for this 200-mile strip. And that's when Revelation 19, that angel cries out to the birds of heaven to come and feast upon all the enemies of the Lord. What a radical picture of the signs that take place in the heavens as well as the destruction that comes upon the earth. I'd like you to think on one aspect in light of what we have studied today. It's interesting that Isaiah 63 goes on to say, right after all this destruction, verse 7 reads, I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us. And the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has bestowed on them according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindness. So here we have the wrath of God in the beginning of Isaiah 63. Then he begins to speak of the mercy of God. And we need to be aware that the second coming of Christ is one of massive bloodshed and destruction. Yet we've been under the mercy of God. So the Lord would call us at this point to be lights in the midst of darkness in this crooked and perverse generation. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. He says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing that such things are going to come upon the planet, we need to be those that will be out persuading men to get right with God through what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. And may the Lord bless our fellowships in these efforts, as well as individuals reaching out to turn people from God's judgment and wrath to his mercy and to eternal life.